Trusting him. Do you know him? So we see then the person who hears our prayer is the living God. That's the first thing. Now the second thing is this. Let's think about the prayer that is heard. The prayer that is heard. O you who hears prayer. God hears prayer. Let's tease out that a bit more. Think of the principle first of all this spells out. God is a God who listens. The word that's used here in the Hebrew means to hear intelligently. God hears us. But it's a word that has the sense of God hears us so as to answer. When you're talking to people sometimes, you get the sense, don't you, that they're not really listening to you. We thought a bit about that this morning. Are you listening? We're here to talk, and we can talk to someone who hears us and is able to answer us. One of the modern English versions puts it, everyone will come to you because you answer prayer. How many verses do you know in the Bible that promise that God will answer prayer? Didn't we read some tonight in Luke's Gospel chapter 11? Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. Who said that? That's what God says. That's the Lord Jesus, God the Son, speaking to those who are listening to him. He promises to answer prayer. How many of you know Jeremiah 33 verse 3? I'm sure you do. Call on to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Do you believe that? What a promise that is. God is the person who answers prayer. Think of the psalmist in Psalm 34 verse 6. He was in trouble. You might be in trouble tonight. Burdens you're bearing, difficult situations you're facing, trials that beset you, all sorts of troubles. Listen to the psalmist. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. It's describing the time when David pretended to be insane to get out of a difficult situation, but it was with the Lord's help. Spurgeon, in his own way, says, the hearing and granting of prayer is the Lord's property. Oh, way of putting it, isn't it? But you know what it means. It is the nature of God to hear and to answer the cries of his people. I've put it on a human level. We've had a great time with our son Peter and his wife Lisa and their two kids today. And of course, the children are full of excitement, aren't they? And they ask their parents for things. And their parents listen. And if it's right, they'll do what they ask. And if it's not right, they won't. That's good parenting, isn't it? They listen so as to answer. Don't you get frustrated? I get frustrated sometimes when you see, and this isn't meant to be critical, that's going to sound, but you see some dear mum pushing her child along in a trolley and she's got a mobile phone on. And the poor little kid wants, I don't know, comfort, a sweet, a biscuit or some attention. But it's all wrapped up in the mobile phone. And you think, poor little kid. And you think, if you're as old as me, I'm glad we didn't have mobile phones when our kids were small. Because it can possess you, can't it? At least with a phone at home, if you took it with you, you'd pull the wire up the wall and that would be the end of it, wouldn't it? So, but God hears his children. He answers his children. Calvin quotes, God can no more divest himself of his attribute of hearing prayer than of being. It's part of God and his nature to hear the cries of his people. And he promises again and again to hear us and to answer us. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. So there's the principle that's spelled out here. And then there's the practice, isn't it? We are to pray. We're to be those who pray. The word prayer here in the Hebrew means intercession or supplication. It means coming with our needs or the needs of others and bringing them before the living God. Beseeching God for ourselves and others. Prayer. Derek Prime once defined prayer in those three lovely little words. Prayer, he said, is talking with God. It's that wonderful? That's simple, isn't it? But it's right, isn't it? Talking with God. And you can talk with God anytime, anywhere, any place, about anything. And that is glorious. It has to carry with it, doesn't it? Two things in a sense. It has to carry with it the sense of awe, because he's the living God. It's not any old person. He's the Lord of the universe. He's the one who made you and gave you life and breath and being. So there's some awe, reverence, holy fear. But it also has a sense, doesn't it, of familiarity. Jesus said, when you pray, say, "Our Father." Speaks of that relationship, doesn't it? It's ours by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a bit like talking to your best friend, isn't it? You know Joseph Scriven's hymn. We could have had it tonight, but there's plenty of choice for hymns. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. How wonderful. The practice of prayer. We look at the word, we see the way it's done. We're invited to pray, we're challenged to pray. We're instructed to pray, to express to God all that we feel. The passage in Luke 11 gave us part of an outline, didn't it, of the Lord's Prayer. You know what Martin Luther did? Martin Luther used to use the Lord's Prayer as a plan for his praying and as a way to teach others how to pray. He would take a phrase at a time. We had this happen at Long Crendon, where we go now recently. One of the guys leading in prayer said, "We're going to use our prayer time by praying through the Lord's Prayer." He didn't take as long as Martin Luther did, but you know, he took "Our Father in Heaven" and just kind of opened up a little bit on that, and all the way, so lovely, all the way through. And Martin Luther would do that. And in life, when he was old, this is what he wrote. "To this day," listen, this is a strange way of putting it perhaps, but you'll understand it. "To this day, I suckle at the Lord's Prayer like a child, and as an old man, eat and drink from it and never get my fill." If you're not quite sure how to pray, get the Lord's Prayer that the Lord Jesus taught us and use it as a pattern and a guide for your praying, like Martin Luther did. I commend it to you. What a wonderful thing prayer is. It includes praise. It includes confession of our sin, because we're sinners who need forgiveness, who need saving and protecting and keeping. It includes intercession, bringing before our Heavenly Father the needs of others. It includes petition, praying for myself, because I've got lots of needs as well, and I need wisdom and guidance and the grace of God continually. And it includes thanksgiving, because I don't know about you, but I've got so much to thank God for. I thank God for the ability still to get about, and the privilege of being able to seek to preach from God's word, to meet with God's people. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Yes, I do, and how many there are. And I thank God for what he's done for me. And that's part of my praying. But there's a problem, isn't there? There is more than one problem when we come to prayer. Sometimes we're a bit like the Pharisee, aren't we? You know, who went into the temple to pray and lifted up his hands and he said, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of these people here. I give tithes of all I possess. I do this, that and the other." He wasn't praying at all, was it? Sometimes we miss out. We don't really ask God. James 4 verse 2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." The challenge is to ask God. And then the second problem is this, that we ask, but we ask for the wrong reasons. Our motives are wrong. That's what James 4 verse 3 says. "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives." God knows our hearts. We can kid ourselves and kid others, can't we? God knows our hearts. Are we genuine in what we're praying? Another problem is the fact that we harbour sin in our hearts and lives. The psalmist says, Psalm 66 verse 18, "If I cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Because we've kind of put a barrier up, our sin. Sometimes it's a problem because we lack faith. We don't really believe that God could do it anyway. James 1:6 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. And then another problem is the fact that we really fail to recognize that God has answered. People have said to me sometimes, I guess I've thought the same. Well, I prayed, but God hasn't answered, hasn't he? God can say no, and that's an answer. God can say wait, and that's an answer. All we want to hear is yes. But no, we must remember that God does answer when he says no. And he does answer when he says wait, as well as when he says yes. So what a privilege it is for us to be able to pray a prayer that is heard. Biblical principles set the pattern. The Lord Jesus, in the prayer he taught us, set the pattern. Thirdly, the people who can pray. Who can pray? Well, the verse says, doesn't it? O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. Wow. What an amazing amount of scope there is here. To you all flesh will come. It's for everyone. Not just for the Jews who thought they were exclusive and God was their God and the rest were heathen, Gentiles, and they were shut out. No, no. Here in the Old Testament, all flesh, everyone, not just the rich, not just the clever, not just the men, everyone, everywhere, in every age. What an invitation. But there is a stumbling block, isn't there? There is a difficulty. There is a challenge. And that challenge is sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that we've seen, it is a barrier and will come between us and God. And we're under sentence. The wages of sin is death, says the Bible. Ah, but there's an answer, isn't there? In the cross. We come to the Father through Jesus the Son. There's a way back to God, says the old chorus, from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open, and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. It's all in Christ. There's the secret. There's the answer. Because the gospel is for all flesh. And God has given that way into his presence through the Lord Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's the way to come. That's the way to pray. That's the way that prayers are answered. That's the secret of it all. There's a sense, isn't there, in which the first prayer that we ever really pray is, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And when we're right with God by his grace, when our sins are forgiven through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, we can come into his presence. That's why I've got down there. The word of God to us, we need to know what God says. The work of Christ for us, he died on the cross to save us. The witness of the Spirit in us, prompting us in our praying. What a privilege. What a necessity. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. If you were starving, hungry, gasping for food and drink, and somebody sat you down at a table laden with the richest of food, a knife and fork, and a cup of tea or whatever it is, what would you do? Look at it? Of course not. You'd dive in, wouldn't you? You'd feast on what's there. Why is it that we're so slow to pray in ways that we ought to pray? Why is it that prayer doesn't feature as high on our agenda as maybe it should? We have an enormous privilege by the grace of God. Our God, our Lord and Saviour, invites us to pray. He hears to answer our prayers. All are invited to come. The way is possible through the Lord Jesus, and we must come and avail ourselves. Trust that will warm your heart tonight to be increasingly a man or a woman of prayer. If you don't yet know the Saviour, pray that first prayer and trust in Christ as Saviour and go on to walk with him. I think I've got one more picture on here. You know this guy, George Muller. What a life lived to the glory of God. Young man, he was rebellious, a right pain, difficult in all sorts of ways. But God in his grace saved him. His life was transformed. And you'll know that he was used as a pastor, but also to open up Muller's homes in Ashley Down in Bristol. This is what he said. I believe God has heard my prayers. He will make it manifest in his own good time that he has heard me. I have recorded my petitions that when God has answered them, his name will be glorified. He wrote down all the prayers and all the answers to prayer. Why? For his benefit? No, for the glory of God, because of what he proved, and to encourage us to pray. Do you ever do that? You ever write down your answers to prayer? Do you ever share with people how God has answered your prayer to encourage them as well? Isn't that wonderful? We're such a wonderful Saviour. Oh, you who hear prayer, to your flesh will come. Remember those words. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for